Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey everyone, wow. Nice sharp edit there, Joe. Thank you for that. We are here the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. I am Paul Machin, Steve Plunkett, and Ian Young join me in the studio for this one. We've just done the final word show, looking back on Liverpool's FA Cup win over Norwich. I basically spent about 45 of the 60 chatting about how amazing Taki Minamino is, so if you want to check that show out in video or in podcast form, it's over on Redmen Plus right now. Moving things forward, Ian, we're just back on it now. We've won the League Cup, we've progressed in the FA Cup. Inter Milan in the Champions League is to follow next week, but no, Premier League now, the one we're least likely to win, but the one we all most want to win, and West Ham, yeah, is what stands in our way this weekend.
I've just been saying to say, David Moyes absolutely despises us, doesn't he? Hates us. I'm convinced Southampton won last night because David Moyes was too busy planning what he had for us on Saturday. He hates us more than Jota hates Leicester. it'll be a tough game. But if we want to go on, we want to catch City, we want to catch one of the league, we're going to need to win this game. Mm-hmm. We'll score. I'm convinced we'll score goals against West Ham. It's just what we do at the other end. And if we do what we've been doing mostly and defend them well the past few games, we should get the win.
They've been a bit of a surprise package, and maybe not. I mean, because obviously they did reasonably well last season as well, didn't they, Steve? But I think there's something about it being West Ham, and you know, it doesn't feel that many years removed from me from being inside that ground when we battered them and their fans are having punch-ups in the stands. It was just something very not right at that football club. And maybe I've just got a bit of disrespect towards Moyes because I know he did a decent job at Everton, certainly judging by how crap they've been since. He wasn't the right fit for Manchester United, which was great. But he seems to have really found his feet this time at West Ham. Fifth at the moment, 2 points behind Manchester United. In a normal world, you'd be going into this game going, oh, well, yada, 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 West Ham. But they've actually got the tools that could cause us some problems at the weekend.
Totally. And what Moyes is good at, Man United aside, is getting the tune out of his players. He's always been very good at that.
Yep.
You take yourself back to Dogs of War, you know, the Everton cry. He's got a nice blend of a squad there. They don't appear to have any particular weakness. Maybe a little bit of depth up front. We've heard that before for other teams. But they're well balanced. They've got really good centre midfield pairing in Rice and Suchek. They're a good side. They're fifth for a reason. And I genuinely think they're in the box seat for that fourth spot. And they play an attractive brand of football as well. They're not negative. They play on the front foot. Be a test. Saturday, the weekend will be a test.
It's funny because I was chatting to, doing a video for another channel with Flex, formerly of United Stand, and talking about Manchester United things. And he's just so lacking in confidence that United will get the business done to finish in fourth, albeit they're in the driving seat at the moment, Ian. But it's something to be said for West Ham is they've got quality, they've got players, they've got good players there, they have got a good manager. But they've got stability, and I think that's making a major difference. And I think it's one of the reasons why, weirdly, like Wolves have done quite well this season, is that they've got good players and they've got a nice stable club, nice stable approach to what they're sort of doing, which sounds mad again from West Ham only a few years ago. But Arsenal are a basket case, United are a basket case, Leicester have become that as well. And West Ham just feel like they are just really positioned. It would be I still think I'd feel surprised if they finished in the top four, and I don't think they're really there. I don't think they're going to do anything to the Champions League if they were to qualify for it. But they are just a really quietly admirable sort of setup this season.
They're a good solid team, aren't they? Nobody wants to play them. Like, you wouldn't want to get them in a cup game, would you? Because when they're playing well, they do play really well. They've got Antonio, who's going to cause problems with anyone. Bowen, who nobody wanted at Liverpool in the summer, but then everybody wanted him for Liverpool in January. Everyone jumped on that. They're just going to be difficult. I think I said we'll definitely score, but they don't concede many goals. Although I think they've got a bit of a run lately of conceding goals. I think they've hit a bit of a, I wouldn't say poor run of form, but they've definitely dipped lately.
The hope really is that they've gone big for the FA Cup in the week, and not got what they wanted to, whereas Liverpool have been able to rotate heavily. I mean, they're starting 11 for that game, the 3-1 defeat to Southampton. Alliola, Diop, Zouma, Dawson as the back today. Fornals, Rice, Souček, Johnson, Lanzini's in there, and then Mikel Antonio and Jared Bowen up top. I mean, to my eyes, if there's major differences there, there's not much off that. Is there being
what their top team? Yeah, they can't be any stronger than that. And you're right. Hopefully, we'll catch the hangover from that.
The thing that they've got going for them, just looking at their, you know, the obvious threats, Jared Bowen, who is. Proven all season long that Liverpool's scouting might be pretty good. Shock. He's got 12 in all comps, 9 assists, which is a really, really admirable return from him. Obviously, Mikel Antonio's got 10 goals, 9 assists. They're the main men. And the thing we know about Mikel Antonio, Steve, is that he plays well against Liverpool. He's been that kind of consistent player that... You know he'll get it as long as he doesn't get injured and as long as he's fit, he'll cause a problem. 10 appearances against us in all comps, 5 goals. Him and Bowen are going to be obviously the ones to watch out for.
Yeah, and he's one of the very few centre forwards that can honestly say he relished the shoulder to shoulder with Van Dijk, because that's what he's about, because he's physically strong, he's quick. You know, you look at when there's videos going around of Van Dijk shepherding Mbappe off the ball and taking the ball off Adama, that they're different physical specimens than Antonio. He is up for the fight. Former defender who's come up through the team to play in the front line. Very quick, very direct. The only thing I can hope for with him, and it's like you've just said, is we'll play the high back line. There's a few sprints in behind us there that might not be great for his hamstrings.
Yes.
He does suffer from that, you know. Yeah. So you don't wish an injury on somebody, but... he's gonna ask questions of our defence, as will Bowen, who is really looking a decent player and warrants an England call up right now.
The thing for me on this game is we owe them big time. It's Moyes for a start, so there's always a little bit of needle in that regard. But that was such a mad game away earlier on in the season. They just caught us at a bit of an odd time. I think Alisson's. It's a weird game of, I don't think he gets the right protection from the referees, but also he's a little bit lost under the pressure that he gets put under in that game as well, from, you know, set pieces and headers and that kind of stuff. Divock Origi gets to come on and not quite be full Divock and be the total saviour of the day, but Liverpool will look back on the fixtures where they'll go, okay, we can do better here. And that will be one of the I think that Brighton and I've already done Brentford will be the ones where it's like, right, no, that doesn't stand. We have to go again and go better this time.
Yeah, and I thought on the day there were a few players in our team that had an off day, not just Alisson. I thought Fabinho had a very, very rare off day and stuff like that. But you'll find out how it's going to go when West Ham get their first corner and how we deal with it and see what happens there.
And I agree. I think that's going to be one of the really, really interesting things to keep an eye out for, because I think we've seen a few times this where clubs have had a little bit of success doing something one way, and then the next time we've met, they've tried it again and Liverpool have sealed that breach. By that point, you know, it's an old adage about, like, I think it was like Frank Miller talking about breaking into the comic industry, and he says, you find a way to break in, but then they seal that up behind you and no one else can get in that way. And, you know, that's the mark, I think, between truly exceptional sides, is that they won't just go to the well again. Moyes, if he's had time to really think about it, will have a new approach on that. If not, you'll see that they will just try exactly the same things and hope for the same results.
Just put somebody on Alisson's toes and see how he deals with it. But you know what? That's not the only way they can hurt us. They can hurt us with Bowen, can't they? And they can hurt us with... West Ham are good at getting down the channels, I find. I think the full-backs are pretty good as well. But like, we're Liverpool, they're West Ham. We should be more worried about what we can do to West Ham and how we can damage West Ham rather than how they're going to damage us.
Yeah, and there's a bit of, like, again, Moyes being at Anfield and all that kind of stuff and there being something to play for. I'm not expecting this to be, like, one of the all-time great Anfield atmospheres, but the thing is, they'll want to have a go at us, and I think that will help. Mm. I think, you know, you can't really tell Antonio and Bowen that they're going to sit on the halfway line and feed off scraps. They're going to want to take the game to us, which I think should hopefully help to ignite everything that's going on inside the ground.
Well, they're not a pragmatic side, are they? They're not teams that sit back. They don't have a low block or a mid block. They try and play their brand of football, and as you said before, that's admirable, and I agree. So they will come and they will try and play us. I don't think the Moyes factor really comes into the play for Klopp. It does for the fans, but not so much for Klopp. I think what Klopp will see this as you rightly said, it's one of the games that we need to redress the balance and say, right, we know we didn't do what we needed to do first time round against West Ham. I need to see it be different today. And mm-hmm. I think that's what he'll be demanding of the players.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of comments before we head to the trivia question. Andy App with the Super Chat says, it will be a tough game, but we have more than enough quality in this squad to get the job done. And not a 1-0 win, I reckon. Yeah, and Varane Essen, isn't Adeola the area around the nipple?
Everybody thinks that, no one dares say it.
if you've got comments, thoughts, super chat, and if you're a club legend subscriber on Redmen Plus, get into the live chat Discord and I'll read through some of the best comments toward the back end of the show. So plenty of time to get them in. But yeah, we have a trivia question before we head to the break. That trivia question is, Moyes has managed against Liverpool 32 times in the Premier League. How many of those has he won?
Hey guys, it's Steve here. Hopefully you are enjoying this podcast. Just want to let you guys know, if you want even more Redmen TV goodness in your ears, every single show that we produce over on our subscription service, Redmen Plus, also comes in podcast format. So you can get all of our amazing content on the go. Hopefully you enjoyed that one and hopefully you enjoyed the rest of the show.
Yes, thank you so much there to the wonderful Ross Chandley and the Ultimate Fan Update. Get involved, play along and see if you can beat us. Link is in the description underneath as well as that league code as well. Trivia question before the break. David Moyes has managed against Liverpool 32 times in the Premier League. How many of those has he won?
I would have said three.
I'm going to go lower. I think his record against us is absolutely dreadful.
The answer is four.
Four?
Oof. Four times. Well, and you'd have been right up until this season. of course. A follow-up question. How many of those were at Anfield?
None.
I have said he has not won a Premier League game at Anfield at all. Yes. It was one of those things. I went through it and I was like, it's like a few wins for Everton, but all at Goodison. Yeah. And he had a win for Man United at Old Trafford and, of course, for West Ham at the whatever the hell their stadium's called these days, the London Stadium or whatever. Yeah. So there you go.
I actually called it Upton Park before.
the bowling ground. Right, Trent, Van Dijk, Konate, Robbo, Fabinho, Mo, Naby, there's probably more, all completely rested from action in midweek. Steve, we talked about this earlier. It's hard to imagine all of those lads not really just coming back in for this game, to be perfectly honest. And then you've got, of course, a conversation to have around Jota, Mane, Diaz, and who gets the nod in amongst all that. But it's all about squad management, not necessarily just the depth. In terms of squad management, we've mentioned there, West Ham have gone big midweek and lost. There'll maybe be a reaction there to be careful for, but in terms of what the side Liverpool can now put out, that's frightening.
I think the names you mentioned who've all had the day off. The only subjective one come the weekend would be Naby Keita for me. The rest are shoo-ins in terms mm-hmm. of coming straight back into the side. You want your best side against your more difficult opponents, and West Ham will certainly be that. It's and the permutations up front. I think Diaz plays. I think the one thing we can pick up from the other night is Jota still isn't fully over his injury. Mm-hmm. He didn't look his sharpest self. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the same front three that we went with in the cup final.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because the back four, you'd imagine, will be restored. Alisson will continue, because why not? He's the Premier League goalkeeper. He's the best goalkeeper in the world. Fabinho will come back in. You'd imagine Henderson, given that he actually got a little bit of time off as well in the match, he will possibly be pushed back to the eight, which really means it's who you're putting alongside in midfield. And then, yeah, the big question is in the attacking areas. The fact that Jota starts suggests that he could then revert back to being the 30-minute role in this game rather than maybe the 60-70. What are you going for?
I think the only two decisions that are going to be made are either going to be Elliot or Keita. I think Keita will play. And I think it's Luis Diaz on the left. I think Mane through the middle and Salah on the right. I think it pretty much picks itself apart from Jota or Diaz and Keita or Elliot.
Yeah, the two shames really in this, and it probably makes the conversation or this prediction a little easier, is no Thiago.
Yeah, he starts straight away.
Absolutely. And we know now he's probably going to miss Inter Milan as well off the back of this, and we'll be hoping to get him back up to speed sooner rather than later. And Curtis Jones, we don't quite know how bad that injury was. By all accounts, I don't think it's too bad, but I think there's a strong conversation that he might have actually kept his place in this game. So we're back to a situation all of a sudden where realistically it could be Ox again. Could be Keita, could be Hendo, and it could be Elliot. I don't think it'll be Milner, so you're really picking two from those four. And then if you're going on freshness, it probably is Keita Henderson.
I've had no qualms with that midfield at all. I think the midfield is probably the only one where it's quite difficult to pick who's going to be. I think back four, back five picks itself, top three picks itself, apart from Jota or Luis Diaz, but the midfield, you've got that many options in there. And in the midfield now, when Thiago is not there, the other midfield around about the same class, there's no big standout player that you go, yeah, that player definitely comes in. Mm-hmm. And also you've got the horses for courses type thing as well.
Yeah, I think there's a degree to which with Keita, there was the option, if he's the guy who's automatically coming in for Thiago, we've seen a little bit of rotation between them. Well, we've actually seen them both on the pitch at the same time, of course, but I just wonder whether he's the closest in skill set to Thiago there, because he is so comfortable on the ball. He's probably the one who would come in. But I felt a bit sorry for Ox in midweek. I thought he had an absolutely fine game against Norwich, but didn't shine. There's something to be said for actually just letting him go again, because he is the kind of player who you'll get more out of him two games back to back, I think, than one in three.
Yeah, very probably. I think the thing with losing Thiago down that left hand side is, and Diaz will help us defensively because he likes to get stuck in, is that when we conceded in the previous game against West Ham, there was a tactical foul to make in that area, which we didn't do.
Yeah.
And Bowen carries the ball far too far before he slips in. It was four now as we scored the goal. We're going to need to watch for that again. And Naby Keita is really, really good at pressing, but he's not so good at when players run off him.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. If Jones's injury wasn't, or he didn't feel the need to come off, Jones starts, because he's probably a little bit more disciplined in that regard.
There's a bit more height in there as well.
Totally, yeah. So it's an interesting combination. With regards to Ox, I really wanted Ox to get hold of the game the other night and say, I'm the guy on this pitch that's the best player, and I'm going to show you why I should be in the first 11, as it were.
Yeah.
He didn't do that, and I was disappointed in him for that regard. Whilst he didn't do anything wrong, that was his sort of audition to say, I'm your man.
When you consider, Ian, we talked about this on the final word, of Curtis Jones took his opportunity up until the injury. Kostas, the same. Taki Minamino, absolutely. Oxlade-Chamberlain kind of falls into that similar bracket of he's on the fringes of things, and this would have been, as Steve says, a good opportunity for him to shine. It's whether Jurgen Klopp is in that mentality of, well, never mind, that's your chance gone. We'll see you in a couple. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Or he thinks there's go on. It'll do his mentality a lot of good to come back into this. And I think he's a bit. I think it's West Ham, one of the games where he had a really good run of games, and West Ham's one where he's actually not that good in as well in that. So maybe there's just a little bit of a side story here where it probably should be Keita, but maybe you give it to Ox, just to say, go on, mate, go and do the game we know you're capable of.
What's funny, a couple of months ago, we had a conversation about Ox where he was like the 12th player, where he was the one who was coming in when we needed someone and he was doing the job. The conversation is very different that we're having now. If that shot that he hit doesn't hit the post and it sneaks in the near post and then we get the goal, we're probably not having that discussion because we're talking about a great goal that Ox has scored, and that's the fine margin.
He's very like
football.
That, Ox, isn't he? That sometimes that he can be, he's something hitting the back of the net away from you going, oh, wow, what a, that attacking Minamino was a bit like that as well, isn't it? You go, oh, what a great game. But I mean, yeah, that, I think that's a good point.
And he's that player that offers that. I mean, I think Keita's doing that a bit better now as well, is that he's having shots from 20 yards and he's doing stuff and with it rather than just putting it in the stands. But Ox is somebody that offers that. He offers that thing. If things aren't quite happening and there's a gap there, he's quite willing to let one go.
Just interesting to note on the Oxlade-Chamberlain thing, Steve, I just got this up into all comps this season. He's played the 11th most minutes for Liverpool, Oxlade-Chamberlain. So not just that he's the 12th man, he's effectively been the 11th man. That suggests that, I mean, it's skewed slightly by him having to play up front during the AFCON games, but it would suggest that Ox might actually get the nod in this. Although that being said, obviously, Klopp likes Keita, doesn't he? You know, he's
you and me, Paul. He wants to see the Keita that we thought we were buying explode onto the scene and start picking the ball up and drilling at people like he was doing in the Bundesliga. But that's a very different league to play in. I think that the thing to bear in mind going into the game is that against West Ham, when we lost, we had a really lightweight midfield. We were never in control of the midfield at all in that game. With Henderson and Fabinho in there, you're going to get two players that can give you that control. So you can afford to have a slightly more free-ranging, for the want of a better word, midfielder in there that's going to give you a little bit more going forward. Who's the better passer and who's the guy that can unlock a defensive midfielder and a reasonably resilient back four? And for me, I think right now, I think Keita's got more strings to his bow in terms of unlocking defences.
Yeah, it's one of those things, just again, looking at actually starts and minutes played. Keita, 13 starts, 1,064 minutes. Thiago, 12 starts, 1,100 minutes there. They're the two who I think we're hoping to get more of a tune out of in the back end of this season. Because right now, you know, Ox is Mr. Reliable. He's there and he's fit every single week. He might not be everyone's first choice, but there's something to be said for looking around. All right, who's ready to go? And Ox is there with his hands up, you know, stripped, ready, and fit, fresh, and fired. And it's whether it's part of this rehabilitation of Naby Keita, or again, you know, you do a world where who do you want to start against Inter Milan in midweek? Because if Thiago's not going to be fit, and we don't know about Curtis Jones just yet. And also whether you want to start Harvey Elliott in that game, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder whether this is a contributing factor of who's preferred for that match. And do you then have to work backwards? So you say, well, I want Keita for Inter Milan. So I'll have 60 minutes of Ox and I'll have 30 of Keita. And then I'll maybe look to flip that on its head for the midweek. But it's an interesting conversation. Just from what we know so far, the way Jürgen tends to manage is the lads that tend to play a lot of games tend to play a lot of games for a reason. So the lads who've played a lot will continue to play a lot, but it'll be an interesting thing of whether Naby's just been, it's unfortunate circumstance that's kept him out of the side, because we know that's true for Thiago, because if he'd been fit, he'd have had a lot more starts and played a lot more minutes. It's whether Naby is one, or is he just a squad rotational player?
It's interesting,
just considering first 11.
Both of those guys, Naby and Ox, are in a similar contractual position in terms of playing for a new one. Mm-hmm. Which one wants it? Which one wants to stand up and be counted, put their hand up and say, give it to me? Because does he give it to both or does he give it to one?
And that's when we consider the last two performances, I thought Naby had a really good game in the final, particularly when he was dropped in under such, you know, bizarre circumstances, not been through a proper warm-up, just dropped in the very last minute when his head's in. OK, well, I'm on the bench and I'm going to, you know, watch him, wait for my opportunity to come, and all of a sudden he's starting 11 is thrust upon him. I thought he did really well in that environment against Chelsea, whereas, as you said, Ox and Anfield in the Cup against Norwich, not quite as much. Again, Klopp's managing for the season, for the rest of the season here. It'd be interesting to see whether he, what approach he goes.
Also, interesting on the stat you put up before, under Oxlade-Chamberlain, it says right forward, right wing. Under Naby Keita, it says CM.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference. Mm-hmm. You're playing a guy that traditionally plays a bit wider and doesn't get involved in the defensive elements of the game as much. Why not play a centre midfielder in a centre midfielder's position?
Yeah.
That's an obvious question.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure Ox would be keen to stress his
versatility.
Yeah, absolutely. And his need to play in centre mid. I think he's been good. And I think the one thing about Ox is he's played actually both sides of the midfield to a really good degree of competence as well. Whereas Antiago's done a bit more of that, whereas, you know, Henderson's rather him on the right of the three, given the choice. But I suppose Naby. The good thing is we're sat here talking about two 40, 50 million pound footballers who, let's be honest, if Thiago was fit, wouldn't be starting this game. But now, oh woe is us and our wealth of riches.
It's a hard life, basically.
Yeah. And as you say, we've not even gone big on the whole Jota. Jota is everyone's favourite at the moment. Mm. You know, his song is the song that's being sung constantly in Liverpool games. But, I just want another look at Luis Diaz, because every time he gets on the pitch, it's just absolutely incredible. Right, we're going to have a little look at the fixtures and we're going to do some score predictions and get through the comments, super chats, etc. But yes, just a little reminder of what amazing content we've got for you guys over on Redmen Plus. Hey everyone, our brand new streaming platform, Redmen Plus, is here. Each and every week, we give you a wealth of incredible Liverpool content that you cannot find here on YouTube or on our free podcasting services. We've got extra shows, documentaries, features, interviews, and a whole lot more. Head over to theredmentv.com, join Redmen Plus. It's a streaming service like Netflix, but for Liverpool fans. We love it and we think you will too. See you there.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yes, an absolute wealth of additional content for you guys over on Redmen Plus. Head to theredmentv.com. We have good fun with it. We hope you guys will too. And we'll have every angle of Liverpool's quadruple challenge covered. And all the culture and all that kind of stuff leading up to it as well. So, yeah, boss. One of the things that we've highlighted in the build-up to it was the five-part podcast series we did, looking back at all Liverpool's previous 8 League Cup wins. And I was really, oh my God, if we lose this, then no one's going to want to talk about the League Cup ever again. Whereas we've got 9 of them now. And if you want to know how we got there, then go and check out that streaming right now. It's really good stuff. Right, gents, the thing that really stands out to me, just looking ahead to this weekend, is that Liverpool play West Ham 5:30 Saturday, Sunday 4:30 p.m. kickoff, Manchester City versus Manchester United. And Ian, we had this the other week, finally again, playing a game before Man City, put it on their toes. And look, I don't expect Man United to get anything from that because they are shite. But, moreover...
What are you thinking?
But, moreover, I think we saw with City last weekend, and Chris made a good point of this, is that they looked really, really nervous and really edgy. And obviously that horrendous handball decision goes in their favour. They know they've gotten away with one there. And it would be nice to just see them. Let's just close that gap to 3 points and go on. Go and play your big City rivals in a massive game of football and see how you hold on.
Any team, I think, who've got players that can run, can hurt City. It's just that a lot of teams don't want to do it. They don't want to try it because it's Man City and they're scared of what's going to happen at the other end. It's a weird weekend because we'd like United to win. I think United would quite like us to beat West Ham as well,
yeah.
which is very, very strange.
Yeah, shake hands on that one.
I think United might get a point.
They've got a good record against City, haven't they? We've seen a couple of times where, worst case scenario, they've done a very good job of spoiling title processions or delaying it by a week. They've actually become to City what they were to Liverpool in the 80s, where their biggest success was just stopping Liverpool winning the title. Not so they could win it, just so they could say that they've stopped Liverpool winning the title.
And totally, and Ian's right. I think if you're brave against Manchester City, you can get things. Chelsea in the Champions League final, Leeds with 10 men last season. I'll guarantee you Marcus Rashford starts against City because he's had a very good record against them. So they'll leave their wide men wide, they'll leave them high, and they'll stop City getting involved. And yeah, it's interesting that, isn't it, Ian, that both the arch rivals want the other team to win this weekend. You don't see that very often, but I genuinely think Manchester United have got what it takes in terms of a style of play to trouble City. And I wish teams would go into games against City with a little bit more confidence. And they're freebies, they're free hits, aren't they? Why not have a go?
Well, the thing is, what they've got recently, of course, is that Tottenham Hotspur game to look at. They've got the ability, I think. And the problem is, of course, is Harry Maguire, you never know. And I think he gets a lot of undue stick. I think Harry Maguire's problem is that he's not Virgil van Dijk. But then again, that's a problem we all face every single day when from everything from playing football to looking in the mirror. He's an absolutely fine, he's a fine centre-half. They've got, their players are all fine in that regard. But I'm hoping that they are... It's about one-off games of football when you've got good footballers in attacking sense, they can cause problems. And if you can just have it, you can just be resolute. If they've got a task to stick to, and that task is defend for your life, then they might be able to do similar to what Spurs did. And maybe Ronaldo just comes in, drops in, and he does a little Harry Kane style thing, or this is Bruno Fernandes' game to shine, and then they've got some pace on the counter. Maybe, fingers crossed.
You know, well, Ronaldo, he's going to want to make it all about him, and he's going to be well up for the game. If we could have...
Just to interrupt, when you consider the Harry Kane point as well, that the two strikers that got away actually having a telling impact on them could be a nice little sub-story. Yeah.
Exactly, and if you get the Harry Kane that played for England in the World Cup a few years ago, I'm not expecting, but I definitely think United could take something, even if that's just the point that does make. Because I don't want them doing too well, because I don't want them celebrating too hard, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they'll lose next week or they'll lose the week after, because that's where United are at. Stay top four teams, and we should remember this, because this was our life for a long time. When you're fighting for top four, you look at that and you go, oh, if we just win 5 games on the bounce... You never win. Teams go fighting for top four, don't win 5-6 games on the bounce. It doesn't happen. No. You'll draw it in, and every time you think you're about to get there, you'll fall short. It's like a drama trap for Sky Sports. So if the title's ever done and the relegation battle's ever done, there's always this top four thing because you've got a bunch of teams just tripping over themselves trying to get into that spot. But as we said, they've got quality. And I'm not going to support Manchester United. I'm probably not even going to. I might watch it if only because Liverpool's business will hopefully be done and dusted by that point, you know, safely tucked up with 3 points. We can watch it. It's a bit of a free hit for us as Liverpool fans. But yeah, there's a nice little dream scenario.
United could quite conceivably win that game and then go and lose to Crystal Palace and Burnley the following 2 weeks. That's been their season, hasn't it? And yeah. I'm not bothered about them.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're quite right. I'll probably have a look if Liverpool win their game, in the basis that it was really nice to watch the way the Tottenham game finished against City as a Liverpool fan. It was really enjoyable to see. They're quite capable of dropping some points there, and it would be nice for us to do our business on Saturday and put some extra pressure on them.
Yeah.
Because it's been the other way around for so many years.
Absolutely. King Jason here in the comments saying, don't forget United has something to play for, so they might just pitch up for this match. Hopefully CR7 has the game of his life. Lol. Nope, he's shit now. let's all do that. Ronaldo's well past his best. He's a bit crap. He's slow. He makes it all about himself. That's the hope is that... That's my thing about this, is that if Rania can set them up with something, and it's a derby, so that's why they do, even when United have been crap since they last won the title, they have managed to find ways to motivate themselves for this, because it's a bit like, you know, like an old boxer, and you get into a fight, but he's maybe not got all his faculties and skill sets, but you can find them, they've got more to lose, and that's what like United fans have got. They've got more to lose because they've had years and years of just putting City in the place, and the City fans are a bit primed for it as well. Mm. And, you know, they've got that, you know, typical City thing going for them, whatever, things don't quite go in their favour. So yeah, United being this, and Ronaldo, and there's just a few players I'm hoping they just buy into this one game mentality where it's all or nothing. Because God knows Liverpool have been in that situation before, and we've been a struggling to make Champions League places team. And then we've gone and done, you know, think back to Klopp's first season, going to the Etihad and getting a result against Man City,
what
a big result
is,
as well.
Is when City thought they were going to win it, Guardiola told the players to invite their family and anyone who looks like their family, because we're going to have a party, and Paul Pogba turned up and spoiled their party. That's what we need to see at the weekend.
Absolutely.
Something like that.
Yeah, completely agree on that. Hey.
Yeah. Just please, United win. I never thought to say that. I did. Yeah. I said it. I don't care.
City's defeats come out of nowhere, so that's my point on this. I think this is the most like predictable way for City to drop points. So I'm, in that regard, I'm not going to sit there and throw all my happiness on the bonfire here in the hope that somehow comes out for me. It'd be nice to watch this with a little bit of pressure, and obviously Liverpool have got to do the business.
We had this discussion, didn't we, before the Spurs game, and it worked. So let's hope this discussion's worked again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fingers crossed and all that. In terms of other Premier League games, you know, as far as Liverpool can say, not masses of note in there, of course. Leicester leads, Burnley host Chelsea, Aston Villa host Southampton, Norwich host Brentford, Newcastle have Brighton, Wolves have Crystal Palace, Watford have Arsenal, and the late game, or the Monday night game, is Tottenham hosting
Burnley. Chelsea is an interesting one. They scraped through very, very hard work of the game last night at Luton Chelsea, and mm-hmm. with what's going on at the club, and Burnley got a draw against them early on in the season. There's a bit of history in there and a few things going on at the moment.
Everton fans will be very nervous, won't they, playing Spurs?
Yeah.
Which Spurs? Which one turns up?
Yeah, all of Chelsea's eggs are about to go in the cup baskets, aren't they, anyway, you know, if they've not done so already. So it wouldn't shock you to see them just take their eyes a little bit off that. But obviously Burnley are also crap themselves, aren't they? So that doesn't help anyone in that regard. But yeah, Tottenham Everton be fascinating to see whether it's like, whether in fact it's away, so Everton are going to lose that. So never mind. right, Sal, let's have some score predictions. Liverpool, West Ham, Anfield. Ian, what do you think it's going to be?
I think there's going to be goals, and I think it's going to be close. I'm going to go 3-2 Liverpool.
I hate that scoreline so much.
Yeah.
I think 3-1 Liverpool.
Yeah, I think 3-0 to Liverpool. Yeah, why not? We need to get a clean sheet again. I like clean sheets. Let's go back to doing that. Or it'll either be a 3-0 or a horrible 1-0. But at this point, I've said this all along, I'm back in that. I'm back fully bought into whatever. Just
it could
just
be 9-8. I don't care. 3 points, please.
I would, in terms of like what you, the psychological damage to City, I think it's got to go one or two ways. Maybe three. Oh, it doesn't matter. Either snot them everywhere, you know, absolutely one for the ages, or we win it with a really late, like,
94th minute, VAR
when they've all their mates in the WhatsApp groups have all turned on and go, Liverpool are about to drop points, and then they turn on just in time to see Sadio Mane get up and head one in at the back post or whatever.
A 40 yard run by Joe.
Debatable penalty.
Yeah,
that'd really wind them up, wouldn't it?
Whatever it takes, just win Reds, put it all on Man City's toes, and let the Manx duke it out for pride and all that good stuff. Score predictions then in the comments if you're watching us live. If you're listening after the fact or at any of your podcasting services, then leave us a 5-star review. That always helps. And if you want more video or podcast content, all of our studio-based content on Redmen Plus is available in both. So if you like your content on the go, you can get that. And listen to us in your ears on your commute and all that good stuff as well as all the documentaries and all those brilliant things. Right, sound. Yes, one to look forward to. The watch-along will be on the weekend as well, and I will be at Anfield for that one, so hope to see you guys soon. Have a boss weekend. Ta-da.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.